So in just a moment, we're going to play that video to transition into the lesson. But it was kind of funny. So we had this transition time at the family retreat, so I decided to tell a Robin and Dave story. Robin and I met a long time ago when he was in Louisiana. Anybody from Louisiana? Woo! I don't know what to make out of that. That's like the whole internet audience, the world, has just watched that. There's two people, internet community, from Louisiana in Washington, D.C. Actually, there are more, I know. So we did a youth conference together, and I'm not making this up. I held an alligator. I ate a boudin. I met the boudin queen, which was married to the boudin king, who used to make boudin for the governor of Louisiana. So, yeah, that, and then I was in a Mardi Gras parade. I'm not even making this up. And so I was telling some of these stories, and afterwards they're like, Robin, is Dave making this up? And he goes, no, that's the PG version. It was crazy down there. Surprise, you hired him. He did a really good job, though, and that's awesome here. So walking into church today, did anybody see the geese on the roof? All these years, I mean, I have a doctorate in this stuff, and I thought the Holy Spirit came down like a dove, and now, thank you so much, came down in the form of a geese. We have geese right now all over West Texas, so Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. There it goes, right there in West Texas. I'm about to show you a video. How many of y'all grew up on All in the Family? See, that's usually the reaction, go, Let's go back in time just for a moment. Play video, please.
Wide awake, let mellow play.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Songs like us, we had it played.
Those were the days. And you know where you were then.
The guns were girls and the women. Mr. Wicked used a bear like Herbert Hoover again. Didn't need no welfare state.
Everybody pulled his weight.
G.R.O. was sour and great. Those were the days.
All right. So when you think of All in the Family, here's all I remember. Okay, first of all, it was one of the first TV shows that hit some very strong cultural issues. And there were times that my family would say, okay, David, you have to leave the room. Because there's some things that they talked about that we just didn't talk about in our culture during that time. And so every once in a while, in all the malaise of all of the cultural topics they talked about, every once in a while, from Archie's chair would come just these laser truths. And it really did change the way that we look at a lot of things. Race relations was a hot topic that they took on during the time. Helped our country think different, to acknowledge our uncomfort, but at the same time, push us forward towards equality. Women's rights. Do you remember when Eve wanted to have a job? Oh my word. And even romance between husband and wife, because Archie wasn't the most romantic guy in the entire world. Like, hey, Edith, just bring me a beer. I'm going to sit right here. Just bring it. That's your job. And then he had to learn how to romance her because she no longer was going to be treated as an object. And then let's not even talk about Meathead. And all of the drama that took place there. So even though I had to escape to the other room every once in a while, there were core truths. Now, let's go to today's topic. We just read a very uncomfortable verse. Here is what your ministry staff did to me, okay? Now, you don't teach 1 Corinthians 6 and 7 the way that Phil sent me this diagram. Since we're talking about All In, here's what I want you to cover in 20 minutes. I want you to talk about singleness and married, and just kind of read through all of 1 Corinthians and find all the verses on singleness and marriage, and let's just talk about that in 20 minutes. So you have to go to 1 Corinthians 6 and 7, and I'm glad the children are gone because some of this stuff they don't need to listen to yet because they haven't had the talk. Then our brother got up here and he just read it, and I'm like, here we go. Because the Word of God is the Word of God. So you're not going anywhere. The doors are locked, and we're going to talk about three things today. And the first one does have to do with sexuality. We live in a world where, well, let me just say this on behalf of all the teenagers in the room, all of the men and women, are you just glad we don't live in today's world? Raise your hand if you're just so glad. I mean, okay, you're not a teenager in today's world. You're living. Thank you. You're like, that was confusing. A teenager in today's world. These phones that they have in their hand is such a temptation. They can Google absolutely everything. And if you don't work for Google, they can, you know, Amazon or whatever you want. They can find out anything from that phone. And think about the temptation sexually. We live in a culture where at least we had double entendre. Do you remember that? We didn't really say it out loud. We say it kind of about it. Some of you placed us, the children of the 80s, in front of the TV to watch Grease because you thought, now that's a wholesome show. And then you started going, now what does that song mean? Oh! I mean, then it was like, oh my word. I'm not going to talk about Three's Company, and that was a weird show we couldn't watch either. So, I mean, we had all of this pressure, but today the culture we live in is an awful lot like the culture that Paul was writing to in Corinth. Have you ever just gone back and read the book of Corinthians and all of the struggles they were having? And Paul didn't have, you know, this idea of everybody needs to leave the room. He just threw it all out there. And one of the things that he talks about is how we deal with sexuality. Now, I'm going to say something that may shock you because we're going to say the sex word in church. But I think we need to set a foundation. Okay, who made sex?
God.
Who made sex?
God.
I wish the online community could see y'all right now. This is good. We could just turn the cameras that way. Okay. God made it. So who knows how to have the best sex? You can talk about this in church. It's all right. I mean, it's good. God does. So it's not a dirty thing, it's a good thing. When God made man and he said, it is very good. God knows how to have an incredible sex life and to have a fulfillment sexually. He made us. But the world has taken what God has called very good and has objectified it. Where it's not about intimacy, it's about what I want. And it is objectifying male and female in our culture, and it's all over the place. That is not any different than the world that Paul spoke into, as our brother read, to remind us of this verse. Look at this verse, if you would, please. Do you not... Oh, go to my slides. Are you all on my slides? No, we'll give time. Go to my little... Do we have ours at all? This is the weird part on, this is not part of the sermon at all. Here's what Paul says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 to 20, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. That the problem with sexual sin is that if I give my life to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of me. So I am following the Lordship of Jesus. So in matters of sexuality, I will experience sexual fulfillment in God's plan and not my own. And when I go outside of that through pornography or maybe extramarital affairs or outside of marriage, guess what happens? That grieves God because inside of me it dwells holy Lord God. It's a problem. That's why Paul says earlier that every other sin is outside the body, but there's something sinister about sexual sin because of the union that it places between two individuals. So he tells this church over and over again, be careful, be careful, be careful, because there's consequences to sexual sin that are different than any other sin. That's how powerful that gift is that God has given us. So whether you're single or married, Paul is talking to both groups. You want to have an all-in life. Here's the first thing you got to realize. All-in living involves an all-in commitment to God's design for sexuality. Not the world's design, but an all-in commitment involves an all-in commitment to God's design for sexuality. So I do a lot of premarriage counseling. Hundreds of couples now. Through the 30 years of my ministry, my wife and I have been married 28 years, and couples will come in and we'll visit. And one of the questions we ask, and I want you to go, if you're not married, I want you to go to this moment, because if you do premarriage counselor, if the counselors are doing their job, they're going to ask you this question. How many people do you come to this marriage, rather, do you come to this marriage as pure people? Discuss your past sexual. Why? Because that impacts the sexuality that'll happen in your marriage. I would love for everyone here, if you decide to get married, that you come with no regrets to that marriage altar. And I do have to say this, out of a lot of the couples, we live in a world where fallen things happen. And thank you, Lord, for the grace of God. The grace of God that washes us clean and enables us to start anew every morning. That's not a get out of jail free card. There's still consequences. Don't live in that regret if you've already made a mistake. But make a decision today to commit to God's all-in design for sexuality. Because if God made sex and you want to have the best sex, you do it God's way. We live in such a deceptive world. When I was in fourth grade, I was a little pudgy kid, about this big, pudgy. And I went out to an area we called the Deep Hole. Now, the Deep Hole was nothing more than a drainage ditch that all the water had so gone through there. It made kind of a canyon and then a little bit of a creek. But when you grew up in Dallas, Texas, that was pretty cool. So we played, yes, we played in the sewers. I mean, just kind of going up and down. And so I was going down to the Deep Hole one day where the sewer water kind of made this little pond looking area, and some guys had a raft. They just found some wood and some different things like that, and I'm like, okay, that's pretty neat, guys. What do you have? And they looked at it and they said, we need somebody to try this raft out. So I said, okay. And I went to the corner and I kind of touched the raft, and it was kind of buoyant, and so I stepped on it and blew all the way to the bottom. So I go all the way home, and I take my wet clothes off without my mom seeing, because I didn't have a lot of clothes. I took those clothes off, and I just streak to my room, and I put more clothes on, and I go back to the Deep Hole. Now, the second time, they're like, okay, Dave, the first time we didn't have enough stuff. We found some more milk cartons. We found some stuff. It's just like, this is going to be great this time. And so second time, I'm like, it is. It's setting a little higher off the water, so this is going to be good. And second time, blah, 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 blah. I go home, get dropped the clothes. The smell in my mom's laundry room was awful, but she's still on the other side of the house. And I get my last pair of dry clothes, and I head back out. A third time. Dave, I know this has been an awful day for you, and we can see that, you know, this has been bad for you, but this time we have it. I mean, we've scoured this whole area, and we have milk cartons, we have foam, we have whatever this stuff is that's underneath that's floating. It may be dead, but it's there. And okay, we just stand on it. And this, I'm telling you guys, this time was going to be different. It was way up here. There's no way it could not hold my weight. So I'm just like, okay. Third time. Blah, 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 blah. Fortunately, this time when I was coming home, Mom had so smelt the sewer water on my clothes, she put an end to the whole deal. And why do I tell you that story? Because there's someone in this auditorium saying, I don't want to commit to God's design for sexuality. Whether it's in your marriage or whether it's in your situation of being single, I'm going to do things my way because I got to fulfill my desires. God's never lived in 2019. He doesn't understand what's going on. Think about that statement, because he did. But I mean, you're like, okay, I can't say no. This is what everybody does. You can keep standing on the raft and do whatever you want, but it'll still go down into the filth. If you want to have an all-in life, where Jesus said in John 10 is an abundant life, then you commit your sexuality to God's design for sexuality. And you're not your own. Remember, you're bought at a price. Therefore, we honor God with our bodies. Now a word to married couples. So 1 Corinthians 7:3. hey, this is cool. Here's what Paul says. Again, in the context of sexuality, but there's another thing that I want us to look at here. Husband should fulfill his marital duty to the wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. It's one of these verses about mutual submission. Do you remember when Paul talks in Ephesians that husbands are the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church? We usually read it like that. Say, that's why I'm going to sit on this couch and my wife is going to bring me a sandwich. That's what Christ demands of the church. And then the husband gets his, right? Wait, hold on, husband, before you get so excited. Remember when Christ died for the church? Guess what you get to do? You're like, I'll die for my wife any day. No, 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 no. That's not what that means. Most of us would physically die for the person that we love. He's like, no, no, no. This means you're going to die to yourself and get up off the couch and get your own sandwich and bring her one. Excuse me? And then the verse that we forget to read is right before that verse in Ephesians when Paul gives everyone how we're supposed to be related to each other as husband and wife. He says this, you should have mutual submission one for another. This is what Paul's talking about in reference to sexuality, but it reminds us of a larger submission. Look at the second point. An all-in, go ahead and go to the next slide if you would. Don't know what that one is. Okay, so all-in living involves an all-in submission from both husband and wife. An all-in living involves an all-in submission from both husband and wife. This is difficult. Because can I tell you about 28 years of marriage in my house? Here you go. On December 28th, 1990, when I said I do to Lisa Mazinga, my life changed. Do you realize that? I lost control of the remote control. I mean, this totally is not fair. And let me tell you how it works. If you're not married, here's how it works. In December, Hallmark decides to have their Super Bowl of every Hallmark movie known to man. At the same time, in the state of Texas, on TV, is the high school football playoffs. And then across the nation, we have the college football playoffs. And then NFL games begin to be more important. All this stuff's going on. And here comes Hallmark, and I'm a married man. And you only have so many TVs in the house. And your wife goes, oh, hon, this is my favorite one. Now, let me tell you something about Hallmark movies. They're all the same. You know this. This is what happens. This guy comes to town, and this girl comes to town, and they're coming from the big city, and it's Christmas time, and all of a sudden they meet their old girlfriend or boyfriend, and they all start, hey, how are you doing? I'm doing fine. And the husband's or the boyfriend of the big city's like, hey, it's me or Christmas, and you know, they start making that big debate back and forth, and she chooses Christmas, and he gets mad, he's gone. But then the moment in the Hallmark show, the wife's like, David, here comes that moment. It's the look. Well, Hallmark's pretty wholesome. They don't kiss. It's just that look. It's just that moment where all of a sudden they realize they think they're falling in love, right? So maybe they're around some Christmas tree or they're making cookies or drinking hot chocolate or something weird like that. Or, you know, Rudolph has showed up in their front yard. I don't know, but they're sitting there and they look across. They're like, and my wife will just go, there it was. And then at the end, because the boyfriend comes back because he's going to win her over and pretend that he likes Christmas, but he really doesn't like Christmas because he's evil, and so he leaves, they get married, they kiss, end of show. And you would think, that's it. But no, they have a Hallmark movie for every single day, and whatever part of the country you live in, it's the same story. And my wife loves it. And I'm going to let a little secret out here on the internet and the World Wide Web, okay? The whole world. I actually like Hallmark movies now. Don't shake your head, sir. I see that. Just got my main card taken. Why? Because my wife loves them. And I've come, it's one of my favorite things to do now. And now, I'll tell you guys, I coach football and I love it, and guess who loves football? My wife. So we have this nice mutual submission, and it's pretty cool. You know, when you're in the middle of a game and you hear your wife screaming, "Get him!" I mean, that's fun. But at the same time, it's great when we're sitting on the couch and just cuddling, drinking coffee, watching the stare, and Lacey's like, "There it was." I don't know how married couples make it without mutual submission. Someone the other day was asking, and I won't tell you the name because of confidentiality, but a couple had been married a long, long time, and a young couple asked him, said, "What is the secret?" And it's the same thing, by the way, that Bob Dole said on national TV recently when they were asking he and his wife, what's the secret of this long relationship? And if you've been married more than 25 years, you know this, is you try to fulfill the needs of the other above your own. So maybe you have this time where you're like, "Man, my marriage just doesn't feel the way it needs to feel. We're in a dry spot right now." Why not just try this mutual submission? Figure out today, husbands, what would your wife want you to do, and do that. Wives, look at your husbands and figure out what would please him, and do that. What would happen if we practice a life of mutual submission where we try to outdo each other in love? That would be an all-in type of relationship that would bring the kind of fulfillment that we really want. Now let's talk about singleness. I'm going to say this at the very beginning. Singleness is not a curse. We have this idea in our churches, okay, that you're not a real full member until you get married, and then you're just like a junior member, and then you have small children, and you kind of become a member in trial, okay? And then when your kids leave, you can really be a full member and make all the decisions about the pews or no pews and die. I mean, that's what you get to do. But to Paul, and this is what he said in 1 Corinthians 7:35, after a long discussion about the idea of, if you want to be married, that's fine, and the whole burning with passion deal, it's better to get married than burn with passion. Again, we don't have time in Archie Bunker's world to talk about that one, because you'll have to leave the room. But here's the idea of singleness to Paul, that it's not a curse, it's actually a blessing to the Lord's church. I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. That's what he says about singleness, that if I'm living a life of mutual submission, and my wife and I have a strong ministry together, she's not with me this weekend because she is speaking somewhere there in town, and I'm here, and we support each other in our ministry, and that marriage is a strong ministry. But if you're single, you don't have to worry about that spouse and being mutually submissive to them. You can have, as Paul says, undivided attention to the things of the Lord. But in our culture, we sometimes make singles feel like they are less than instead of fully involved in the life of the church. That is totally a cultural thing among us. So Paul would say this to singles: an all-in living involves an all-in acceptance of the gift of singleness. Now that's weird. Some of you may be single because you're still waiting for Mr. or Miss Right. I understand that. I get it. And man, be patient. Continue to, I mean, that sometimes this can be a horrible, lonely journey. I get it. But if you are single, Paul describes it as a gift and not a curse. What can you do with undivided attention for the kingdom of God? So all of us here, first of all, church, we need to commit to say, just because you're single doesn't mean that you're less than, but you're a full part of everything we're doing. And actually, you could be a gift to the body of Christ. Again, if you are single, double down on that idea that you actually have maybe more of an undivided focus on God's work than us who are married can have. It's a gift. Every once in a while, I receive passes to be on a field. It's kind of cool. I have a friend That's the PR director for the Cowboys. So if I wanted to go watch a Cowboy game, and I ask, hey, and I know I saw a Washington Redskin hoodie over there, and I'll, there is a prayer time afterwards, and we can do that and take care of that. You can pray, Lord, deliver. It's awesome, though, to say, hey, can I have some passes? And you get these neat media passes, and you get in the stadium, on the field, before the stadium opens, and you see them in their street clothes and working out, and you kind of chat a little bit. But then there's this moment when security comes by, and they start noticing the tags. And they're pretty serious about this, because if you have a tag to be on the field during the game, you're in a much higher economic bracket than David Frey's. Okay? You got to pay the major bucks for those things. And so I had this one tag, and they walk around, and they just like herd you up, going, nope, it's time for you to leave, it's time for you to leave, it's time for you to leave, it's time for you to leave. And so you just kind of walk away like, oh, man. Okay, good. I'm going to try to sneak it. No, you got to leave. I just want to say, no, you're gone. We do that to singles. We're like, you can be involved up to this point, but oh, not married. See you later. No kids? Over there. You got to be gone. There are no different tags in the kingdom of God, is what Paul said. We're all bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. Then we are part of the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12. And we all have our place in this all-in family. So let's review kind of what's going on here. In our text today, if you want to have an all-in life where it's abundant, we have to commit to an all-in sexuality where we commit to God's design and not our own, whether you're single or married. If you want to have an all-in life where you abundantly enjoy this life, then as a married couple, we have to go all in on mutual submission one to another to meet the other needs above your own. And if you're single, you have to embrace that, not as a curse, but as a blessing, to have undivided attention on the things of the Lord. I asked the group last night in our last session together, why do young people leave the church? Because right now, 40 to 50% of the best numbers I can give you of our students, if you just kind of divide this in half, will just walk away. Not go to another faith tribe, but actually just walk away from faith. And one of the big reasons why is because they don't see the relevance sometimes from the adults. And when we come to church, we do our thing, but they don't see the relevant way that faith impacts life outside these walls. The authenticity. They want to see authentic adults authentically grappling with the issues of the world with the way of Christ. And then they're like, that's what I want. That is a relevant faith that impacts the world around us. When we live and we struggle to maintain an all-in design for God's design of sexuality in our lives, that strengthens that authenticity, church. When it's married couples, our students can see husband and wife mutually submitting and loving on each other and trying to meet needs above their own, even if it's messy sometimes. That lets our students know that we believe in this book and in this word and this idea that life abundant is found in the way that God wants us to live, and it strengthens their faith. You see what I'm saying? And if our young people can see singles, they go all in for the Lord, and it's not a curse, but it's a blessing. It encourages faith because it gives them something to look forward to instead of regret. Do you realize the median age now of marriage for men and women is between 26 and 27 years of age? So if you're single, our young people need to see an example of what does it look like to be an all-in, committed follower of Christ when you're single. See, it's important. It's important that we talk about this idea of sexuality, of marriage and singleness. It was important that Paul said it to the Corinthians, and it's important that we hear those words today. Let's stand together. Aren't you glad that we're not alone? Aren't you glad what our brother said, that we get to come together as a body of Christ and encourage one another? I'm just going to ask very boldly, and this is not going to be the time of public confession, But if you commit to God's design for sexuality, Paul makes it clear. Jesus says it in various places. John certainly says, but we need a thing called accountability. That we don't just come to church and say, how are you doing? I'm doing fine. When you're not doing fine. How are things going? Oh, it's going good. To commit to God's design of sexuality in 2019, we have to do this together as a body of believers. The person sitting next to you or maybe somewhere in this auditorium, we have to commit to be accountable. I'm old. But I have people that watch my phone. I have people that call me and ask me how I'm doing. Why? Because I don't want to let any room for temptation and God's design for sexuality be supplanted by me stepping on a raft. Are you with me on that? So we have to be accountable one to another. I'm going to ask you to get involved in each other's lives. Gentlemen, ask the hard questions of your friends. Stop asking, hey, how was your golf game the other day? And ask, how are you doing on your phone? Instead of saying, man, I saw you the other day, you had a great game. Why don't you start having discussions of, what are you watching when no one's around, my friend? Not just a guy issue, it's a girl issue, right? That we all commit to this idea of God's design of sexuality. And husbands and wives, would you recommit today to be mutually submissive one to another? And married couples, when you get together, would you talk about things other than curtains and carpet in your new house? Can we have relationships where we keep each other accountable in the way that we talk to each other, in the way that we act, and we have each other in the home, that we help each other with our marriages? Older people who've been married forever, would you teach us your Jedi secrets? Would you meddle in our lives, amen? How many of y'all have been married less than 5 years? Raise your hand. Okay. These are the people we need to meddle in their lives. You're like, I know you may not like this, but I got to give you some information. Guys are weird. Here's what you do. Okay? Girls are strange. They don't always like flowers. They like chocolate. Hey, okay, my wife likes Hallmark. I mean, whatever secrets you want to give to these young couples. Why? Because the world's watching. These students are watching. And God wants you to have the best. And if you're single, raise your hand if you're single. It's not a curse. Raise your hand if you're single. You are full members. I almost want to swear you in. You are full members of the body of Christ. You can clap for that. That's all right. You are welcome. There's a place here for you, all of us. So around Archie Bunker's house, when they were talking about all kinds of stuff, every once in a while, you had that moment in the chair where Archie's like, just figure something out. Here's what we need to figure out today. We are all in this together. In our singleness, in our marriages, in our fight for God's design of sexuality, none of us are alone. And isn't that a gift? So in just a moment, we're going to have a song. It's an invitation. I understand a sermon like this, if you walk forward, people are going to be going, which one of these three are they struggling with? It may be awkward. I'm not going to ask you to come down front. I'm going to ask you when the song's over, and maybe when we're done, is to recommit by talking to your closest friends and saying, let's recommit to accountability. Let's get our marriages together. Let's celebrate our singleness. Can we do that? That's the response today. If you need to come forward, we'll certainly pray with you. If you're a guest, you're like, how do they talk about this stuff all the time? No, just when Phil gives me the topic. But I will say something about this church. I feel a part of it. And this weekend's been great. It feels like family. And what you hear and what you experience here, this is an authentic community of Jesus Christ. And we would love for you to be a part of it. I live in Texas, and I'm an unofficial member, okay? So this is a great place. And if you're listening online because you're one of those people that are like going, I don't really know if I want to be there. I'm just going to kind of touch church on the surface. Show up. They have coffee, and they have tea. You could choose either one, and somebody will welcome you, okay? So come and be a part of this family. This is a light in a dark world. So maybe this morning you want to come forward and just say, you know what? I want to meet one of these elders and begin my journey at this church. That is totally what we do as well. Let's pray and then we'll have our time of meditation. Father, thank you so much for giving us a family to be all in together. And Father, I thank you for passages like this. Father, we live in a world where to submit to your design of sexuality is becoming increasingly more difficult. Father, I pray that we will open up these accountable relationships between young and old, and we will commit together to God's, your design of sexuality. Father, I pray for all the marriages in this room. It's so difficult to put our needs aside for the needs of the one that we are married to, but I pray that all of us this morning will recommit to a mutual submission in all areas of our life for our spouse. Father, I pray for those who are single. Thank you that they are not under members. They don't have this tag that when the married people get together, they have to leave the field. But they are full members with a place and a call, an undivided heart towards you. So, Father, thank you so much for giving us this body. Thank you so much for purchasing this body with your sacrifice. Let us all respond in a way that is appropriate to the word of the Lord. And all who agree say, amen.